Gee, good Falchuk, Gee, and Clark coming. Luke Claskill, a shock to the show with me, Tom Cormack, as always, with you on a Wednesday night here until 9 o'clock. And coming up on tonight's programme, a very special guest, I must say, in studio with me, former Donegal hurling great Jamesy Donnelly. The powerful hurler and one of the most decorated commonwealers in Donegal retired this summer, and he retired after Donegal's Nicky Record championship success over Warwickshire in the summer. Donegal won that game 219-0 for a second Nicky Record championship medal for Jamesy, who has literally won every honour in the game. And I'm delighted to see him joined by Jamesy in studio. Very good night, Jamesy.
Thanks, Tom.
Yeah, Jamesy called time on his career. But first, before we go to Jamesy, just to congratulate Red Hughes on making their way through to join Gweedore in an All-Ireland semi-final. Things looking up for Donegal football. James Carlin, Stephen McMenamin and Shane Gallagher scored the goals in their 3-11-1-15 victory over Dunedin Connolly's in a cracking All-Ireland quarter-final in O'Donnell Park last Sunday afternoon. And indeed, Red Hughes quite lucky to get through, because Dunedin Connolly's put in a great show. Sean Malley, their top scorer, the Mayoman, scored 1-4 out of the 1-15. A very, very impressive performance by the club from Edinburgh. But Red Hughes are going through, and well, they'll be looking forward to an All-Ireland semi-final after Christmas, I think end of January, possibly early February, against Connacht and Sligo champions Eastkey. So that should be an interesting tie. No idea of a date yet for that. And of course, Gweedore already through to the All-Ireland senior semi-final, where they will take on All-Ireland champions Cora Finn in the All-Ireland senior semi-final. We do know that one is the weekend of Sunday, February the 16th. But we'll talk about those obviously after Christmas. But tonight our focus is on Jamesy Donnelly, and we'll pay tribute to his and his great 17 long career, which probably has won every honour in the game. Just one other thing before we leave the club championship, we have to mention Mullinock. They're from Longford. I know probably have many listeners from Mullinock, or probably have nobody though. Probably chance maybe we might have won. Barry Mulligan here in town, a former Garda, now taxi man, is a Mullinock native, and is a nephew playing on that team. So Barry, very proud man this week, chest out obviously, and looking forward to an All-Ireland semi-final against Dr. Crokes. Wouldn't it be great to see Gweedore and Mullinock in an All-Ireland final on St. Patrick's Day? But that Mullinock is a brilliant story, really. A brilliant, brilliant story. It's a half-parish of Gowna in Cavan. There's a population of 447 people in the population. That's men, women and children. So just the one school, the one church, and they've held on to the post office for the time being. And they had their homecoming in Gowna. So the Leinster Championship was won last Sunday. They defeated Kilmacud Crokes, a highly fancy Dublin side, of course, in the Leinster final in Tullamore, and they had their homecoming. Their first stop was in Gowna. So the Ulster the Leinster Championship went all the way to an Ulster town for its celebration. So that'll, I'm sure, be one for the history books and the quizzes in the years to come. Certainly, Jamesy, before as he's slipping off here, it's getting quite warm in the studio already. Before we talk about your own career, that Mullinock is a great story, isn't it?
It was a great story. And I was actually, me and my wife were watching it in Dublin, and the Dubs were kind of getting angry with us that we were shouting for them. But it was a great story. Such a small parish. And
yeah, it just shows you, a great encouragement for everybody. Anyway, talk about yourself. Obviously, retired this summer. I suppose went out in the high in Croke Park, winning a second Nicky Record. How big a decision was it after, what, 17 years?
It was fairly easy, I think, when McCann rang me early, kind of this time last year, and I kind of decided to give it one more go. It was
because you kind of had half to retire, had you, in your own head?
I was kind of half gone, and then once McKay came in, and I would know Mickey obviously from playing with him with Donegal for a long time, and I knew his calibre, and Gabriel coming in. It was kind of tough to walk away knowing the kind of setup it was going to be. So I decided that this would be it, that I would leave no stone unturned and really put myself to a dark place and try and get up the steps of Hogan again. And thankfully it worked out that way. You know, there was a lot of tough nights in Convoy, but thank God it all paid off in the end.
Yeah, and obviously retained your position in Division 2B, had won it the year before, got up to Division 2B, retained it. So that was a big thing as well.
It was massive. You know, some of the results we got in the league, unfortunately, I missed three of the games in the league, and just the results the lads got, especially against Derry and Down, who would be, you know, would be regarded as a step maybe above us, but it certainly didn't show on them 2 days. And we went to Wicklow on the second last day, and a very, very fancied Wicklow team, and they just pipped us. And I kind of knew from then that there was something kind of brewing within this team, especially the fight. And I says to myself on the way home on the bus from Wicklow, even though we got beat by a couple of points, I says there's something special with this group, and a never say die attitude, which is always a good ingredient.
Yeah, and this group have been together for a few years. It's a new team because you probably won your first Laurie Maher or your first Nicky Racker, certainly with a team that was probably coming to an end. So this is a new crop of players.
Aye, well, like you still had the main backbone, like you had myself there, and you had Enda McDermott. Joe Boyle was there, Lee Henderson and Kieran, even though they're relatively young, they've been there a while. So there was a good nucleus there. And of course, you had Danny there, Danny driving the show on. Like, so there was a good backbone there. But there was a lot of young boys coming and made their mark, which is great. And it's hard to beat a bit of youth. They really push things on.
Yeah. Two Nicky Rackards, as I said, a Laurie Maher, Ulster Junior Championship in 2003, Ulster 21 in 2004, an All-Ireland Minor C 2002, I think, and a couple of Donegal Championships as well. Four Nicky Rackard All-Stars? She played Chinty International, played with Ulster. You know, for a Donegal hurler, and that's not condescending, that is, you know, they can't get much better than that, can it?
Things can always get better, Tom. I get, you know, but I've had a real good career. You know, I've had ups and downs, but looking back there, just see it there in front of you, like it's something you don't really think on, really. Especially myself as a person, I would have always been very sore on myself. I'd always found something critical and something to work on for the next day, and that's kind of the way I played my career, just day to day. And my father and mother always said, "You're only ever as good as your last day." And that's kind of the way I went through my career. But listen, it was great. Looking down there, I suppose the standout memory would be in 2010, winning our first club championship with McCool's. My brother was playing fullback on that team, and my other brother was the coach of the team, and that was very, very special. You know, it was very, very kind of, it was very bonding team. You know, the team was aging and they hadn't many shots left, and to get over the line that day.
And they hadn't won it in many, many years, had they?
No, we had never won a senior. We'd won a few junior and intermediate, but never won a senior. And it was very special that day. And to see the mother and the father after the game, with the three of us being involved and the pride in my mother's eyes especially, it was very, very, very special to me.
And talk to me, obviously, playing in Croke Park, talk, what was that like playing, obviously, because that's something that has come along now with the Laurie Maher and the Nicky Rackard.
Oh, it's great. It's great for teams like Donegal and the Nicky Rackard and Christy Ring finals to be up there. You know, it's the Holy Grail. And I'll never forget in 2006 when we played Derry in the first Nicky Rackard final, we were looking around us more than anything, and you forgot about the pitch, really. It's a great, it's a great incentive for players, especially down in our tier, the second tier and third tier, and you know, it's great for the game.
Yeah, and it has brought the game on, I think, in the weaker counties.
Oh, it has, because like at the end of the day, there's a great incentive there, you know, to get to Croke Park, and when you're running in the muck and slob in January and February, it's,
you've played in it what, 5, 6, 7 times now. Like it's nearly an annual occurrence since you made the first trip.
Well, listen,
does it still hold that special feeling?
Oh, of course it does. Listen, I'd be fairly friendly with Frank McGlynn, the Donegal footballer, and I'm sure if you ask Frank, he'd tell you the same thing. Every time he runs out there, you get that special feeling. But at the end of the day, Tom, when the ball's thrown in, it's work. Like, you know, it's dog eat dog. And as lovely as the pitch is and the surroundings is, there's no worse place, believe you me, than is to come off Croke Park after getting beat, you know. So, listen, it's nice and all as it is, but at the same time, you have to
measure up.
You do.
But those Nicky Rackard finals and those Laurie Maher finals that you were in and generally are high quality games and high scoring games.
Yeah, they are. I suppose in the earlier days there was no such thing as tactics. It was 15-on-15 and there were a lot of high scoring games. Now I suppose it's come down to a lot of tactical things, and they mightn't be as free flowing, but still very, very fast. It's a big, big pitch. I tell you, last year I found it tough enough now.
The tongue can be out.
The tongue can be out very handy.
And tell me, played with Ulster.
Yeah. Yeah, I played a Railway Cup a couple of years. I suppose my best memory would have been we played, my last time playing would have been on our home pitch, McCool Park. I would have marked the great Alan Cairns
of Galway.
Galway hurler and footballer. I think he has a football medal in 2002.
Yeah.
That was a great night on my own pitch, and a big crowd, and you know, it's as high as I could have went, and as in standard wise, you're playing against the cream of the crop, you know. And Danny was playing with me that night too, which was special.
Danny Cullen, yeah.
Yeah.
How did you do?
We were actually beat by 2 points.
Pinky, that was against Connacht.
Against Connacht. Pinky Kelly from Antrim actually scored 4-4 that night, and we almost had them. But it would have been some story, like, so. Would be a bit, I think it was 2 points in the end of.
And tell me, how did you find Ulster? How did you find the Antrim, the Down players who would have been the main, you know, players on the team? Obviously, because Donegal would have been seen certainly prior to your time, maybe back in the 60s and that, maybe they were seen when James McLaughlin and Jude Campbell and people like that were playing. But for a while, you had gone off the radar. Donegal had gone off it. How were you seen by those Antrim players?
Ah, listen. Dominic McKinley was a manager, and he was a very down-to-earth kind of a man, and you know, he set the standard from day one. I mean, when he came on to me in the first training session, he says, listen, either eat or you'll get it, and that was kind of his mantra. And like, after the first session or two, they see that you can hurl a bit, and you shouldn't get respect after that. And
yeah. And talk to me about the Shinty International. You had quite a lot of experience both at senior and underage level.
I played for the 21s and seniors, and another great experience. I think my best experience would have been when we were in Crow Park for training. So it was actually the most enjoyable part in Crow Park. You're in for a training session, you could actually enjoy it, you know, and just to mix with some great players, like it was.
Now, who was on those Shinty teams with you?
James Cahill from Galway. Joe Canning was on the first year in the 21s. Martin Comerford, the great Martin Comerford from Kilkenny, you know, actually I roomed with Comerford in Scotland, and it was an experience in its own, you know, just to get his insight into hurling and all. But he's no different to the rest of us. He works really hard at his game, and
Was he in awe of you? The far surprised that Donegal man was there first start.
He was very surprised. You know, obviously it's like the. There's nothing Donegal, only football, and rightly so. Football's the number one game, but listen, there's small pockets of clubs that absolutely adore the hurling in Donegal, and you know, just hopefully that could grow a wee bit more.
Yeah, that's the voice of James E. Donnelly, retired Donegal hurler, retired during the summer following Donegal's Nicky Rackard success over Warwickshire in the final in Croke Park. It was his second Nicky Rackard for James E., who also has won Laurie Maher championships and two Donegal championships. One of the most decorated young hurlers in the county. Still only, what, 35, is it, James?
Thanks, Tom.
Yeah, still only 35, but he's a side call time. But you will still be on with McCool's, I presume.
No, actually, I hurt my knee. I did my cruciate twice in my knee, and unfortunately, in the club championship, I twisted the knee, and I just thought I'd hurt it again. But to cut a long story short, my career's basically over. I've been told by Ray Morton, surgeon in Santry, that a knee replacement is probably underway by the time I get to 40. So,
yeah. So you don't accelerate that?
No.
That's the voice, as I said, of James E. Donnelly. We'll just go for a short break, but we'll return. We'll be talking further to James Donnelly. We might have one or two people on the phone as well to talk to about James E. as well. Fáilte Ascaigh Ian Clár, with me, Tom Comack. My special guest in studio tonight is former Donegal hurler James E. Donnelly, and we're paying tribute to James E.'s 17-long championship and honour-laden career here, one of the most decorated hurlers in Donegal hurling. But before we return to James E., just to remind people that Declan Bonner and Donegal will have their first outing of the new season against obviously Queen's University of Belfast in the McKenna Cup on the 30th of December. But they're playing Sligo in a very important challenge game in Park Kilarstic Alley here in Letterkenny on Sunday next. It's 1 o'clock throw-in. So if you want to get to that game, obviously, and see Declan's new look backroom team, I suppose, more than anything else. Certainly quite a lot of interest in that as well. So that's on Sunday. That game is on... Yeah, it is a Sunday, isn't it, Jay? Tickets, yeah, throw in at 1 o'clock on Sunday. Tickets can be purchased at the school or at the gate on the day. So come along and see Donegal for the first time on Sunday. We haven't seen them in a while, so I'm sure there'll be a big crowd for that. Well, we're returning to our special guest tonight. James, yeah, I just noticed when you started out as a forward at underage. You became a defender then. How did that come about?
I don't know, maybe the forwards got better and I got older. But I moved back into the backs then. I think I went in centre back and I really tried at centre back. I loved it. You're in the middle of things, you get to control the game a wee bit more, and I just tried.
I always maintain, but either in hurling or football, that one of your best hurlers or footballers should play centre half back, because I think it's a very key position in that it kind of thwarts the opposition, can stop the attacks and begin them automatically as well. So a very key position. So I always felt that it's a top position. Well, as I said, Ray Jurek is a former Donegal hurler, a former manager as well, and a man that played hurling alongside Jamesy Donnelly in his early days playing with Donegal when he was just a young lad out of minor, and also managed him, of course, later on. Ray, a very good night to you, and I know you have a great time, and rate Jamesy Donnelly very highly.
Hello, Tom. Hello, Jamesy.
How's it going, mate?
That's bad. Tom, look, you're chapter one gentleman there, that's all I can see.
And what about his hurling?
Well, his hurling, you know, is there's a lot to be said about that. No, I tell you, James is one of the most passionate hurlers that I've seen in a long, long time.
Yeah. What was it about him?
As I said, Tom, he was just passionate. You know, James, he gave it 100%. You know, he was chatting there. He was saying that he found it tough going. Like, you know, this year he was kind of getting caught for speed. But what James, he lacked in speed, you know, he had it in heart, determination, you know, and confidence, skill, you know. He was just a fabulous hurler, an all-rounder, Tom, you know, and that was it.
And how influential has he been over the last few years with Donegal?
Sure, look, he was just one of the main backbone of that team, you know, and, you know, you could depend on James Donnelly with your life, because James, he loved a high ball coming in, you know, and you knew if it was a high ball coming to James, that he was going to come out of it, he was going to find somebody, offload it, and danger was over, you know. Very cute hurler, so he was.
As I said, you managed him, but you also played with him in his early days and coming towards the end of your career. What's your memory of him when he came into the squad?
He was like all these new pups that came in, Tom, you know, they were just a wee bit, you know, they thought they could teach the old dogs new tricks, you know, but they learned the hard way from those older boys, like, you know, James, he was, you know, as I said, he was just an honest, passionate hurler, you know, and I couldn't fault him in any way.
Yeah. And James, I know you have a special memory from your first game playing with Donegal.
It would have been our first championship. We played at Antrim in Balbuffet. I think it was the week before my leaving cert. And Ray gave me his jersey. He was full forward. It was Ray's last game, I think, for Donegal. And he gave me his jersey. It was number 14. And my father would have wore that jersey for years to all my matches. It was the old Abbey Hotel jersey. And my father still has that jersey in his wardrobe, I'm sure, if he looked.
So, if you're looking for the jersey back, I don't think you're going to get it, Ray.
I don't think it would fit me now, Tom.
What was he like when he came in? Was he playing defence or forward back then?
When he came in, James, he would have been playing centre back. You know, probably that was his position. You know, and you know, you could have played James anywhere, centre field, centre back, full forward, full back, you know, it didn't matter, you know, as I said, he was passionate to give it 100%. But I think centre half back was his position, you know, when he was at himself, you know. But then he went back full back, you know, Tom, and, you know, he was rock solid there, so he was.
Yeah. And of course, you know, his trophy cabinet, I suppose, really reflects how good he was and how passionate he was and how committed he was over such a long period of time. Like, he's literally won everything can be won at that level in the game.
Ah, definitely, Tom. You know, like, he's won every allocate go now, you know, and look, well deserved You know, as I said, he was passionate, gave it 100%, you know, and you don't win these things by not going in, you know, going in half-hearted. You have to give your game 100% to get to those positions, you know, and that's one man that did that.
Look at Ray, thanks for joining us and a very happy Christmas.
James, same to you, Tom and Jamesy, and look, good luck in your retirement, son.
Thanks, Ray.
No doubt, sure. I'll see you next year during the championship.
No bother, Ray. Thanks to the Kane Rose.
All right, Jamesy, okay.
Jamesy, a great hurler and a great inspiration to the youth coming up. Keep it going for Donegal, but I must say, Union Sletterkenny have a super minor team. What does Jamesy think of them? Have the super minor team? They have in football. I'm not sure about hurling.
Jeez, Tom, Unions will break our hearts at every age group. They're phenomenal underage, to be fair to St. Unions.
Hurling?
Yeah, they beat us in an under-12A final this year, and some of the hurlers now, they'll be household names in years to come. Definitely will. They'd only beat us by a couple of points, but...
That's McCool's.
Yeah. Yeah.
And they have a good minor team, have they?
Oh, they do. Unions, I'm telling you, Unions are the team... And 4 or 5 years' time, they'll have a senior championship. I'd be very, very surprised if they didn't.
Tell me, who are the influences on you? You mentioned your dad, obviously, and your brothers.
My mother would have been a huge inspiration on me. She would have been a huge driving force behind it. I would probably take all my passion from my mother. She's a staunch McCool's woman and GAA woman. And out of my auntie Pat would be, she's obviously a Stornoway woman, but she lives in Tipperary, and my uncle Sean would have took us to a lot of Tipperary matches over the years when we were Wayans, me and the cousins, and I just kind of picked it up from then. And
And then, you know, when you started playing first, who were the influences on you at club level, shall we say?
The late, great Justin Brady.
Yeah.
And Justin's sons, Paul and Robert, and like a lot of people, you know, about, you know, and I would have played a lot of football as well, and you know, a lot of them people would have been all similar, would have been driving the thing forward, you know. And Artie Friel would have to get a very special mention too, you know. Artie soldiered with our club for years at underage, and you know, Seamus McCormick, the great,
Seamus,
God rest him. People they get, you know, there's lots of people, Tom. I'm probably forgetting half of them, but
no, I appreciate that. And tell me, you played football to a high standard. You played minor, did you, for Donegal under 21? You were,
yeah, I did. I would have played along with the two McGees and Carl Lacey and Paul Durkin and them lads, you know. But just come to the stage, Tom, where you kind of have to make the choice, and the commitment is just too great. And I suppose at the end of the day,
that was a big choice, was it, at the time?
It was, like, because I was kind of pushing into our senior team at the club, and they were going right and well. We actually got to a county final, but at the same time, my love for hurling was just too strong, and you know, I just couldn't ignore it. And
Who knows? Who knows if you didn't, you could have won in All Ireland.
I don't know about that. Mate.
Yeah. But you know, obviously, you know, it wouldn't have been as fashionable to play for hurtball as football.
And I would see that still. Like, but at the end of the day, you have a lot of great hurling people out there, and the football side of things is actually, you know, it can help. Like, you know, we have a lot of great dual players in our club, and St. Union's have a lot of great dual. Like Sean McVeigh has 2-3 senior football medals with St. Union's, and you know, he's fighting hard to get his hurling medal, you know, and that's great inspiration when you see somebody like Sean that can do both. And we also have Marty with us, Marty Riley.
Yeah.
You know, and that there drives the young lads on too.
Yeah. And tell me, in terms of going forward now, obviously you're finished with the club, but I'm sure you're going to be involved in coaching, eh?
I'm kind of in the backroom staff with Mickey McCann there with Donegal, and I'm taking on the club senior side, so I'll be hoping to try and get things up and running there, and hopefully make a bit of hay too.
Delighted to hear Jamesy highlighting his wonderful hurling career. I've known him since he was born, and the pleasure of watching him blossom. A gentleman, tough and teak in the pitch. Congratulations, Jamesy, from Shamey Callan, another good hurler, I think, of a bygone era as well. Shamey, a Satanta man.
Ah, Shamey's a Satanta man. Well, he thinks he's a Glenswilly man now.
Yeah. Well,
he's a Satanta man.
So I played hurling for the county. I remember him as well. Good hurler.
Oh, gee, Shamey Callan was a great hurler, and very, very, he's great physique, great skill. He's a bit like his own young fella now.
Cormac,
he's very, very pacey and could drop the shoulder. Yeah.
So looking forward now to the next chapter.
I'm looking forward to spending a wee bit of more time with my children, and I would say daddy will be a wee bit happier to see me about the street a wee bit now, a wee bit more. So
be able to do more milking and looking after.
Well, we don't do much milking now, it's all beef, but we foot her about anyway. But and just when I'm here, I'd like I have two very special people sitting up waiting. They probably should be in bed, but to my own two, to Ella and James, I just want to say hello to them and to my wife Claire. We had a tough old year this year, and
unfortunately,
Claire's been a great driving force behind everything, and I'd be lost without her.
On that note, James O'Donnelly, it's a pleasure having you in studio tonight. You've brought us great enjoyment, great entertainment, and also a pleasure to talk to you after games. That's James O'Donnelly joining us here tonight in studio, reflecting on a glorious career, and I've no doubt he will be an inspiration for young people to come, and I wish him well with Donegal and Mickey McCallum. So that's it for me from the GA programme, from Tom Comack, from James O'Donnelly, from Ray Jurek, Jimmy Stafford, the old reliable on sound as always, Cogean Shocked and Shehogan. Next week, tonight will be our last one of 2018.